When I first started going to India, the kids, the little kids, would call me Uncle. That's a term of respect, and I enjoyed that, you know, Uncle. Short time later, they started calling me Tata, which is grandfather. The last couple of years, they've referred to me as Peta Tata, which is old grandfather. And so folks have asked, are you qualified? Well, yes, I'm eminently qualified to speak on the subject. I also have four grandchildren who, by the way, are the smartest and the cutest of anybody's. And so naturally, I ought to be the one that would speak on this subject. It's very appropriate. Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. In this psalm, David is speaking of the things that would be blessings in the lives of individuals. And the blessing of being able to see your children's children is certainly a great blessing to any person, to any man, to any lady. To be a grandfather is a marvelous situation in life. To be a grandmother is a marvelous situation in life. It is a great, great blessing to see children's children. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. And I certainly wouldn't disagree with that. I enjoy my grandkids. Few days or just maybe a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so ago, when you reach my age, time kind of runs together. We had stopped by my grandchildren's other grandma's house. I had, and my little grandson, 4 years old, was out in the backyard playing with some other children that were there. And as I got out of my truck and I was walking up the driveway, I could see my grandkid back there, and he saw me. And he announced for the whole neighborhood, he says, "Whoa, baby, Grandpa's here." And I grew about 2 feet taller as I walked on into the house. It's a lot of fun. Grandparenting is grand. You know, you can pick up the little angels, take them home for a while, and then take the little devils back where they, you know. But when we think about grandparenting, I believe that it is responsibility intensified. Because there are so many things that can and should be done by grandparents. And yet we need to bear in mind that there are a great number of things that cannot be done by grandparents, and that there are many ways in which we are nearly powerless with the raising of the grandchildren. But I think that it's responsibility intensified because grandkids think grandparents can do anything. That there is nothing that grandma or grandpa cannot accomplish. We were at one of our grandkids, in fact, two of the grandkids, they're born on the same day, 2 years apart. So they celebrate the birthday at the same time. That saves money on balloons and cakes and such as that. But we were there for her birthday party, and one of the balloons popped. She picked up the pieces and brought them over and laid them in my lap and said, "Fix it, Pawpaw." Well, that's quite a challenge. Did you ever try to repair a balloon? There are no balloon repair shops in Blue Springs. It's difficult. And of course, you just simply have to explain, "Honey, I can't fix that." You just throw that away and there's more. And, you know, eventually she understood. But they do think that we can accomplish anything that they ask of us. It doesn't make any difference what they ask. And it is also responsibility intensified because grandparents really do have influence. Who would deny the influence of Lois upon Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm quite sure that Eunice had the major measure of influence there. But who would deny that Eunice had gotten her influence from Lois? Lois then has appropriately passed, or Eunice has appropriately passed that on to Timothy. When you look at the first missionary journey, it seems to me like that portion of Scripture is recording for us that when Paul first went into Lystra in that area, that it was first of all Lois that obeyed the gospel, and then later Eunice and Timothy did, because Timothy is Paul's own son in the faith. We know that Timothy was converted as a result of the preaching of the gospel by the Apostle Paul, but the faith dwelt first in Lois. Now, of course, that may be from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. It may be, and probably is, that Timothy was being, that Eunice was trained by Lois, and then Timothy, as they came along, not to be Christians, but to be faithful children of God under the Jewish dispensation or economy that they knew at that time. But the faith dwelt first in Lois, the influence of grandparents. Well, you can get back very early. About as early as you can get as far as grandparenting is concerned, and go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible informs us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. This happened because of the fact that God has placed punishment upon this young man for the killing of his brother. And so he packs up and he moves off and moves away. You continue reading after verse 16, and it informs us of the children that come into the life. And then you look over in Genesis chapter 6, and you find the phrase, the daughters of men. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the descendants of Cain. But the descendants of Cain, the grandkids of Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve, did not have the influence, the presence of Grandma and Grandpa there. But then you look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, called his name Seth, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, I don't have any doubt that Seth and his wife have appropriately trained Enos. But I certainly cannot deny the influence of Grandpa Adam, Grandma Eve, as they are there giving their input and their direction. After all, if the grandkids want to know about the mess that is in the world, these Grandma and Grandpa can give them firsthand instruction on how that happened, and how they ought not be repeating that kind of thing. I sometimes think that we get a little bit hard on the case of Adam and Eve in thinking that they continued in this wicked state. They did not. I don't know that we can find a greater example of mature motherhood and of appropriate motherhood than we can with Eve, in the statements that she made, that I've gotten a child from the Lord. And after this replacement for Abel came along, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Grandparents really do have influence. And folks, we need to bear that in mind, that we have an influence that is irreplaceable, that no one else can or should do for us. I do want to make a point of clarification God does not directly place upon the shoulders of grandparents the responsibility of training the grandchildren. Now, there are principles, of course, that would apply to us as grandparents. But we do not have the responsibility directly given to us from God to raise the kids of our children. And young folks, you bear that in mind, that God gives you the responsibility of raising your children. God gives you the responsibility of training your children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God does not give that to your father or to your mother. I think sometimes children get the idea that, well, you know, I'm too busy to train the kids, so I'll just leave them off with grandma and grandpa. They're good at this. They'll get the training done. And that's not fair. It's not right. And it certainly is not what the Bible teaches. You have the responsibility. You brought them into the world. You train them. Because that's what God requires of you. Sometimes, in spite of all that one can do, the children just do not teach the grandkids like they should. And I know that every one of us would see that even if your grandkids are being trained just fine, we can still find just a little bit of ways in which we think they ought to be trained just a little bit better, because we have high expectations for our grandchildren, high hopes, tremendous desires for our grandchildren. And perhaps it's mistakes that we've made with the children, and God is just giving us a second chance with the grandkids to try to offset maybe some mistakes. I've known of cases on many occasions where the parents didn't teach the children, but the children did teach the grandkids, their children. And then the grandkids had a chance then to come back and teach either grandma and grandpa or mom and dad. It doesn't necessarily have to go down that way for the influence. Grandkids can influence grandparents, and it can influence their own parents. Psalms 11 and verse 3 poses this question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we use the question in this way. If the foundation of teaching that we gave to our children is destroyed, what can righteous grandparents do? That is, if we have done our dead level best to train our kids and they just did not listen, they didn't get the message, or they got the message and they lived the message for a while until they got out on their own and got out into the influence of the world and then forgot the message, what can we do? Kids are too big to beat. They're not going to listen. What kind of influence can we have upon our grandchildren? Folks, there are a lot of people that are just living in this very distressing situation. Of what can I do to help my grandkids because my kids are not behaving themselves like they ought to? My grandchildren are not getting the training that they ought to. What can I do? Well, I think that there are some things that we can do. In fact, I know that there are some things that we must do, if this indeed be the case. And if that's not the case, do these anyway, because that may be the case sometime. And of course, the things that we'll be talking about, when you leave them undone at the beginning, it may very well be too late to go back and make up the time lost. In a nutshell, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. We can put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Or to put that nutshell in a nutshell, we can be the Christian that God expects us to be, that God demands that we be. We can let our light so shine that men may see our good works and so glorify the Father which is in heaven, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, because some of those men in the generic situation may be our grandkids that need to see the light shining, that need to see the righteousness of Christ as it is being lived in our lives. not because he zapped us with it, but because we learned it from his word and practiced what he taught us. We can demonstrate, number one, our love for the church we so desperately want them to be a part of. And that is so important. If the kids leave, there's not a lot that you can do about that. You can pray for them, you can scold them, you can try to teach them and what have you, but you do not have control over them after they have left the home. But don't get disappointed and discouraged and disgruntled and angry and upset and such as that, and then begin to belittle the church because the church did not do its job in training your kids, raising your children. Continue to demonstrate a powerful love for the church, because that's what we want the kids to be a part of. Reuben Shelley doesn't speak for me. I want my grandchildren to be raised in the same church that we have sought to raise our children in. And we can only do that if we will demonstrate our love for that church. Because, quite frankly, if we badmouth the church, the grandkids are going to be aping what Grandma and Grandpa are saying. If we badmouth the preacher and the elders and the members and such as that, then the grandkids are going to be imitating. They're learning. They're picking up. They'll be seeing these things. Demonstrate, folks, a love for the church, because this is the Lord's church, and it's the only one he's going to save. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. And I declare unto you that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. And so we just need to demonstrate the love for it. Back in the mid-70s, I was preaching at Hannibal, Missouri. And down at Mexico, my hometown, they had planned a youth rally. And so I took a group of our kids, my two daughters and a group of the other kids from the congregation at Hannibal, down to Mexico for the youth rally. If memory serves me correctly, Judy had to stay home because the boy was a baby. She stayed back. But I do recall when we went down and we enjoyed the day and we came back, and when the girls came into the house, the first thing they said to Mom was, "We saw Grandma." Now, we didn't stop by Grandma's house on the way or on the way back. We saw Grandma at the youth rally. And not only did they see my mother at the youth rally, they saw Judy's mother at the youth rally. And I tell you what, folks, that really impressed me, that that's what they were excited about. Now, they enjoyed the day also. But what a marvelous thing to be able to go to a function of the Lord's church. Now, Judy and I were the first ones on either side of our family to learn the truth. But now we've gone to the point where our children can go to a youth rally of the Lord's church, and there are both of the grandmas that are there. Now, it wasn't because they were in their second childhood. It's because they're there working with the church, trying to feed the kids and keep the kids corrected and handled and such things as that. They're there working. And as I thought about that, I wondered, where would your grandkids have to go to see you? If your grandchildren wanted to see you while there is a church function going on, where would they go to see you? I know that there are many grandparents that are confined to home. You have to go home and see them. But I have in mind the large numbers of grandparents every day that are in the bars, that are in other unrighteous activities in this life, of grandkids that would have to go into these dens of iniquity to be able to see Grandma or Grandpa. Where would they have to go to see you? We saw Grandma. What a marvelous thing that was. But now the flip side of that would be the cartoon that I saw one time of a small boy standing beside the easy chair that his daddy was sitting in. And apparently the small boy had just come from Bible class and worship service. And he just come in the door and he walked over there to the side of the easy chair where daddy's sitting there, or maybe it's even grandpa, that would be more appropriate, sitting there reading his newspaper. And the little boy spoke up and he said, "You want to know what I learned in Sunday school today? Hypocrite." That's not showing love for the Lord's church. Grandma and Grandpa, don't let your kids, your grandkids, see you not appreciating and esteeming very highly the body of Christ, because they'll learn it. Or it might be like the little boy that was listening to the preacher and he was just getting hopping mad. And he poked his mama in the ribs and said, "That man's talking about my daddy." You know, kids pick up on the weaknesses, the inequities, the inconsistencies that grandma and grandpa have. Love the church. Do everything that you possibly can to uphold the church. And do absolutely nothing. Be willing, folks, to suffer anything. I mean anything. Any indignity, any physical suffering, whatever. Rather than hurt the church. Jesus suffered for the church, and surely we ought to be willing to do that also. You must do that. That's grandparents fulfilling their role. If you want your grandparent, your grandchildren to grow up to love the church, and grandma and grandpa need to be demonstrating that same love for it now, because the grandkids are going to learn. You need, if you're going to fulfill your role as a grandparent, you need to be willing, courageous enough to defend the truth in order to preserve the truth. I like the statement that was made by our brother last night, that if these people in this gay movement, homosexual movement, this disgusting, devious situation that they are trying to push upon our country, if they want to fight, they come to the right place, because we're soldiers. The world needs to know that. Our grandkids need to know that. They need to know that you are willing to defend the truth, to fight for the truth, in order, folks, that the truth might be preserved. It's been observed that we're only one generation away from apostasy at any given time. Each generation needs to be trained. If you don't fight for truth now, what's going to be the condition of the church which your grandchildren are going to be a part of? And this is not being trite. I think this is being wise in application of the present day stress. That we need to fight for the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if you don't know the truth, there will be no liberty for your grandchildren. They must know the truth, and it must be preserved for them. Now, God is going to preserve the church. The truth is everlasting. Somewhere in the world, but it may not be in your community if you don't fight for it. If you don't do your dead level best to defend it so that your children will be able to inherit the truth from generation to generation to generation. For you to sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you, as 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 mandates, may well be the hope of your grandchildren. Now, it may not. It may not. They may be blind to it. But we're not talking about the role of the grandchildren. We're talking about the role of the grandparents. The responsibility that we have of fulfilling our role as the parents of our children who have children. To earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3, may well preserve a faith for your grandchildren to espouse and defend. Proverbs 23, verse 23, tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. I get frightened sometimes, folks, when I begin to look about our brotherhood and wonder, what is the church going to be like when my grandchildren reach maturity? It hasn't been too many years ago that in the Kansas City area you could find several congregations that you could worship with and feel like you're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. the selection is slimming down considerably. If your grandchildren move into an area where one of these other congregations that have no respect for the truth and no love for the church, and they haven't been taught, where are they going to worship? Well, they might see the sign out front says Church of Christ, and they figure, well, that's where I need to go. But not necessarily. Not necessarily in our day and age. We need to earnestly contend for the faith so that our children will have our grandchildren will have an opportunity to espouse and defend the same faith that we have. We need to live righteously. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head is a crown of glory. I can remember long, long, long before I ever knew anything about the Lord's word of hearing that statement. Gray hair is the crown of glory. And you know, that's what the Bible says. But it is not, you're not going to get the truth if you stop it there, because that's not all that the Bible says. The Bible does not say that gray hair is a crown of glory. What the Bible says is that gray hair or the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And there's nothing glorious about a gray-haired, dirty old man. Nothing glorious in that at all. The hoary head is a crown of glory if that hoary head is filled with the truth and is following after righteousness. But there are so many that have somewhat of what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And I submit to you that it is only the righteousness of God that is going to stand us in good stead on the day of judgment. Not the righteousness that comes from the schemes of men. Not even the idea of being morally upright as being the definition of righteousness. That's not the total definition of that. There is the theory of impugned righteousness, or imputed righteousness, I should say, that even as being heard in our own brotherhood, that we're righteous just simply because Jesus was righteous. It doesn't make any difference how mean and ornery I've been. I am righteous because Jesus was, and God imputed His righteousness to me. Folks, that's not only error, that's blasphemy. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We must live righteously in order to enjoy righteousness. And God expects us, and I think our grandchildren have a right to expect us, to live righteously so that they can observe what righteousness is all about. I recall reading about a little boy that asked his daddy one time, Daddy, what's a Christian? And daddy said, well, that's a fellow who is a member of the body of Christ, and he's goes about doing good things and lives according to what the Bible teaches, and on describing what a Christian really is. And the little boy shot right back and he said, Daddy, did I ever see one? I mean, that's getting right down where the rubber hits the road. That is a challenge that simply cannot be overemphasized nor overrated. Live righteously. Grandchildren don't deserve a dirty old man or a crabby old woman for a grandparent. They just don't deserve that. They need to be able to enjoy going by grandpa's house and grandma's house and being able to go there and enjoy life as God intended for it to be. There should never be the danger of the grandchildren accidentally getting a can of beer out of grandma's house, out of grandma and grandpa's house. Should never be that danger. There should never be the danger of the kids worrying about, well, now, if I let grandma and grandpa babysit with the kids, what kind of magazines are they going to be reading while grandma and grandpa's out holding the garden? Should never have to worry about that kind of things. Live righteously. It is still true in the accommodative sense, as it was then, of 1 John 5 and verse 19, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Or as the American Standard Version, I believe, translate that, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Satan still has an awful lot of control over this world. The song that says he's got the whole world in his hands just does not tell the truth. God does, in the absolute sense, have this whole world in his hands. But not in the sense of which we have everyday life contacts. Satan has a lot of control, a lot of influence, and he ought not be able to do it influencing grandchildren through grandma and grandpa. That ought to be God's field of labor. God ought to have the privilege of being able to influence these precious little ones through grandma and grandpa. It's a marvelous thing to see the relationship of grandchildren to grandma. Now, I'm a grandpa, and I like things like yo baby grandpa's here. But I have to be truthful with this. The phone will ring, and I'll answer, and my little grandson will be on there, and they say hi. He'll say, "Hi, grandpa. Is grandma there? Can I talk to her?" That's all I get. Or I'll open the door when the grandkids come visiting. They'll walk by and say, "Hi, grandpa. Where's grandma?" As you know, it is true that we have four of the most gifted grandchildren that there are, because grandma bought them. They've got gifts from grandma all over the place. That's where the affection comes in. Grandpa don't buy much for them. Actually, that's not true either. They know. I have never spanked one of my grandchildren. My wife has, and yet, as has been already mentioned, children have respect and love for those who love them enough to discipline them. They really do. That's why Grandma has that. Joash had to be hidden from his grandmother Athaliah for 6 years. This wicked grandmother killed her other grandchildren. Can you imagine that? She killed her other grandchildren, lust for power. She killed all of her other grandchildren and would have killed Joash. Except there were those who were wise and courageous enough to take him and hide him. Hid him for 6 years. And then when he was finally brought out and the announcement was made that Joash is alive, they took Athaliah and they killed her. They straightened this mess out. But can you imagine the wickedness of an individual that would be so mean, so downright ornery, as to literally kill her grandchildren? Well, none of us would do that. You won't even read about that, if you ever have. It's no more than once in your lifetime of even ever happening. We wouldn't be so wicked as to kill our grandchildren physically. Let's don't be wicked enough to kill them spiritually. Let's love the truth. Let's love the church. Let's live righteously so that we can see to it that our part is done in our children inheriting the truth and our children being saved eternally. Bottom line, be a Christian grandparent because your grandchildren deserve it. I've never met most of you's grandchildren, but they deserve it. Congratulations to Terry Mayberry. He's another grandpa this morning. Brand new baby born this morning. Brand new responsibilities and obligations that he's inherited. But he'll do well with God's help. Thank you.